We'll reconvene the board meeting, and we will go to agenda item 5B, which is the customer information and billing system replacement informational update. Dan.
Great.
And Charles.
Yes, thank you. We are very pleased to present this second quarterly update to the board with regard to our CIS project implementation. We've made some significant headway in these past few months, particularly with regard to our strategic plan initiative involving the customer experience. So as you know, and Charles and Mike Malone are going to share with you here in the next few minutes, we implemented our customer portal here back in early January. It's been a great success. That is one of the three major components of this project. So just as a refresher on the background, we have our CIS, customer information system. The billing system itself is the engine behind all of these things. That implementation is a 20-month effort with 4 months of post-go-live. We're about 7 months into that now. The next component is that customer self-service portal that we implemented in January. And then the final component that staff is working on, the configuration elements of that, will be a mobile work management for the customer field interaction piece. All three of those pieces come together in March of 2021 with go-live. So with that, again, I mentioned we're 7 months into a 20-month project. We plan to go live in March of 2021. And Charles and Mike are going to give a little more in-depth information about the successes we've had over the past quarter and some more background.
Thank you, Dan, President Sullivan, members of the board. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it, and we'll begin with reviewing some of the key project metrics that we look at. You may recall from our last CIS update in November, we talked about the deliverables. Each phase of the project has specific deliverables that have to be met, and the team has a very detailed process of reviewing those deliverables and accepting them to ensure that they meet the standards of the MWD before we move on to the next. At this particular moment, the planning phase, which had a total of 35 deliverables, those have been completed. And we are currently in the analysis phase, which has a total of 83 deliverables, with 51 of those completed, and the balance is on track to be completed by March of this year. The next item that we look at is the ADIs, or rather the ADI login. What this is you know, action items that are assigned to the various project team members, decisions that need to be properly documented, and issues that come up that need to be addressed. As you'll see here, to date, the team has logged 138 of these items, with 131 of those successfully completed. And what this is telling us is that the team is actively engaged in addressing issues as they come up, and not necessarily kicking the can down the road, if you will. So this is a really strong success close-up. So since the last update to now, quite a bit has happened. And then picking up from where Dan left off, so the team completed 8 configuration workshops. And what this really entailed was the team addressing the 2,500 requirements that were identified for the project and understanding how are those requirements going to be configured in this new building system. In those workshops, we were very deliberate in bringing in subject matter experts, or SMEs, from various departments across the district, not necessarily customer service, departments such as development services, finance, to ensure that because they do consume information from the billing system, that they're part of that discussion as well, and they know exactly what we're doing there. Another major accomplishment is that the team finalized the testing and training strategy for the three systems that Dan talked about. So the billing system, and then phase two of that customer self-service portal, and then the mobile work management system. So those strategies are in place today. And then finally, Dan did steal my thunder, but we did go live with the EMWD My Account customer portal on January the 8th, and it's been very, very successful and well received by customers. But just a quick, before I move on, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Director Paul. You see us there in the picture. He did spend some time with the project team in December. Really appreciate your time, sir. The team really did appreciate the comments that you provided. And you also agreed to be a tester for us, and that was also appreciated by the team.
It was a great experience, great job. So I thank you for allowing me to
be a small part of it, and you didn't allow me to touch any representation, which was a very smart move on your part.
Especially the part where you could change your account name.
Exactly.
So a little bit of background on this phase one of the project. Dan mentioned we kicked that off in July of 2018, and the project runs concurrently with the bigger project, the building system replacement. There were about 40 deliverables that the team did accomplish and successfully complete. In November, we strategically selected EMWD staff who are also district customers to get an early view of the system, and that strategy proved to be very successful because the feedback that we received from those staff members, we were able to implement some of those things in the system before we released it to customers. One such example is displaying usage in gallons, because that's what most folks are familiar with in addition to cubic feet. So we found that that strategy was very successful, and definitely did give us good input there. And then finally, you know, it was a team effort. You know, folks from customer service, April and her group, Republican Government Affairs, Mike Mullen with his IT group, and then all of the various partners that have been working on this project with us, they all came together, put their best foot forward to ensure that we deliver a successful system. So one of the things that I'm sure you're all asking, okay, so we went live in Jan, and how are customers responding to the system? Well, here are just some directional metrics. Since go live on January the 8th, we've had a little over 40,000 customer logins to the system. As you'd imagine, one of the pages on the site that's generating a lot of views is the usage page, with about 17,600 views on that page in just this short 3-week period. And then net new customer registration is about 2,300 customers that signed up to the system. So very successful to date. And what I wanted to share is just to put these metrics in perspective. So when I finalized this presentation early last week, those are the numbers. But when I looked at it this morning, here are the numbers just for comparison purposes. So total logins, 57,200. So you can see in just a week's time frame just how much that has jumped up from 40,000 to 57,000. Usage, there's about 21,900 views as of this morning. And total registration is just shy of 3,000. So customers are really engaged in using the system, and we're really excited about that. So before we play a video, and a shout out to Amanda in Public and Government Affairs, she really put together an neat video to play for y'all this morning. I wanted to draw your attention to the screen that we're displaying here. This really is the center point of this customer self-service portal. This is what customers see that tracks their usage. They can drill down from a monthly level, down to a daily level, even down to the hourly level, and see their usage that way. And this has really become possible because of the recently completed AMR project that we celebrated in the spring of 2019. Other features here, customers can overlay temperature to see if there's any correlation with, you know, it's a hot day, do they need more water, and also precipitation. If it was a rainy day and I had high usage, you know, do I need to make adjustments to my sprinklers, let's say. So a lot of analytics from the screen that can really benefit the customers. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and play the video. Following the video, Mike Malone will come up and talk a little bit about the system technology and security.
Introducing EMWD's new My Account Customer Portal, a streamlined tool for customers to access their EMWD accounts. Using My Account, customers can easily view and pay their bills, track water usage on a monthly, daily, and even hourly basis, easily manage multiple accounts in one place, and much more. Please note that if you're a current email user, you will need to reset your password in order to access the new My Account portal. If you're new to My Account, registration is fast and easy. Create a username and password and fill out all the necessary information on the registration page. After confirming your account through your email address, you're all set. You now have access to all the great features My Account offers. The home screen allows you to view your current bill amount and bill due date. Submit payments and set up payment arrangements, or make edits to your online profile. Have multiple accounts? Access them all from one spot. Wondering how much water your household uses per day? Log into My Account and dive into the details. Do something different recently? Maybe you installed a water-efficient appliance or filled a swimming pool. You can see where that changed your water usage by drilling down into the detail view. Let us know what you think about the new portal by providing feedback. The feedback bar is at the bottom of every page. In a rush, you can access the Quick Pay feature via the My Account homepage. Pay your bill quickly using only the account number and name on your account. This is just the beginning. We look forward to continuing to serve our community by building upon My Account with new features coming in 2021. Visit My Account now at emwd.org/myaccount. EMWD, serving our community today and tomorrow.
So as you can imagine from a customer's perspective, this was a pretty important piece of technology for us to get right. So the first thing we focused on was making sure that the system was as available as possible and as performant as possible. And in order to do that, what we essentially built was a fully redundant system. So whereas you'd normally have a single web server allowing clients to hit that single web server and it provides web requests back to the client, we have multiple systems that a client can hit, and if a single system is down, it will automatically transfer to the next available host. So that way, even if we have an outage, the clients don't notice. The other thing is, if we need to take the system down for maintenance, we have to patch for security updates. You know, there's reasons from a hardware perspective where we have to upgrade systems on a regular basis. We can take the systems down one by one and provide no negative impact to our customers. The other thing is we built in real-time alerting and monitoring at a level we've never before employed, allowing us to proactively see any outages, any performance issues that the environment might be experiencing so that we can address them before the customers even notice that there's a problem. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, is notifying us if there are any security events. So if we see folks hitting those internet-facing web servers, running malicious scripts against them, we'll be aware of that, and we'll also be able to track the activity of that user to see if they've compromised any of the systems, so we can rapidly take action. So although this environment does not directly process credit card transactions, we actually hand those transactions off to our payment provider, Kubra. We went the extra mile, and we actually had the environment certified to PCI levels. So that requires quite a bit of engineering and design to make sure that the environment is segregated in a way that ensures that any compromised single system won't affect the other systems in the chain. This is actually what they call a three-tier application architecture. The clients hit the web servers, and then the web servers proxy that request to what are called application servers. So the client actually never sees the system that does all the hard work. From the application servers, those systems then query the database where we store the user information, login data, all that. So essentially, when you hit the My Account system from the internet, you're two levels removed from the system that actually provides the login authentication details that let you use it. We had the security design validated by two different third parties. One was West Yost Associates. We've used them a few times in the past to do cybersecurity analysis for us. They went through all of our documentation, our architecture, and basically gave the stamp of approval that this is a best way to implement this particular architecture. And the other thing we did was we hired a white hat hacking firm, essentially, to spend a week running rootkits and malicious scripting systems against that environment before we went live to see if there were any open vulnerabilities or things that we needed to address before going live with the public. And every quarter, we also continue to do vulnerability testing and scanning to ensure that, you know, if things have changed and new vulnerabilities exist, we're checking for those, and if something needs to be patched, We do it before we're affected. So on that, I'm going to hand it back to Charles.
Thank you, Mike. I believe there is a test following this presentation on system security, so I'll have notes.
I'll sit next to Mike during the test.
So moving on to project quality assurance. As you may recall, we spoke about Plant Moran, who is the third-party vendor that's responsible for ensuring project quality assurance and the health check of our project. The way they go about that is they will sit through project meetings, they'll evaluate project documentation, and interview project staff members to then get their analysis completed. Once they're done with that, they rate their findings as follows. Green representing everything is on target, yellow things are below target, and the project management office needs to mitigate, and red things are off target and it needs to escalate beyond the PMO. So as of January 2020, and this is the last column here on this table, I'm happy to report that our project is a healthy green, with one item reporting as yellow, which is the project manager management and issue remediation. I'm sure most everyone in the room is looking at, okay, what happened in November, because there's a red marker there. So in November, the Kayenta lead project manager left the project unexpectedly. So that did create a gap in that role. If there's a bright side to this, is the Kayenta sponsor really responded quickly. He met with Dan and myself, and we started to put measures in place to ensure that that resource departure did not impact our project. So what have they done to date? So they began actively recruiting for a new project manager. And in the interim, the project director did step in to play that project manager role. So we found that that was very successful and it maintained continuity on our project. In January, on the 15th and the 28th, Dan, myself, Laura, and Mike, we held a phone interview and an in-person meeting with their recommended candidate. And she brings a strong experience, over 20 years of experience in the project management space. And following that activity, we gave our thumbs up, and now they're moving forward with transitioning that employee to our project. And we expect that on February 17th, she'll be hitting the ground running with our team and continuing on from where we are right now. And then finally, the project budget. So here's a view of the various components that make up our project. You may recall the total approved budget was $17.5 million. So these are the various components that make up that project, that budget. To date, we spent a little over $3 million of that $17.5 million approved budget. And you'll see the footnote there that there's a variance and we're trending under budget. And I think this slide really represents that a little bit better. So the blue graph represents what's planned, and the green represents the actual. And you see month over month we've been coming in under, which is good. One driver to that is, I think we shared this last time, the lead project manager relocated to Southern California. So from a travel perspective, we're saving on that money as an example. So we are on time and under budget, as Dr. Paul would like to remind you. So what's happening? So when we look ahead, I believe after this first item, we just wrapped this up this week. So the team was conducting data conversion workshops. So that's really looking at the data in our current billing system and determining how do we move some of that data into this new system. So that workshop was completed, I believe, this week. Next, the team will be designing the various interfaces that will interact with the system, systems such as our financials, right? So we need to get the information from the billing system into finance. So the team will be designing those interfaces in April. And then, if you believe it or not, in July, we'll be testing this system. And then, obviously, from an organization change management, that's just ongoing, and we'll continue to drive that change management through the project. So with that, that concludes our report today. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
I'd just like to say, Charles and Dan and Mike, I mean, This board gave you the task of bringing our customer online experience into more Amazon-like, we call it. And I think, personally, I believe we are achieving that goal. So, I mean, from an interface with the customer, I love our new My Account and what we're doing there. And the fact that you're continuing to move forward and under budget on time is also a real plus. So, again, congratulations so far.
All right. Any other questions?
I have a question. When you say you can get your hourly readings off of your meter, is that hourly immediate, or is that it takes readings every hour, and then at 9 o'clock in the morning, say, it downloads, and then you can get the hourly readings from basically the day before, or is it...
Yeah, so I'll pull the phone
with that. Or is it from an hour ago?
Yeah, so we have a nightly load that occurs, right. And what we're essentially doing is we're taking all that data from Census, which collects all the meter information, to MeterSense, which is a system that actually we connect to from the My Account portal. So generally by 4 or 5 a.m., you have yesterday's reads.
Okay.
And
so if I have a big lead,
you'll know.
I'll know 24 hours later.
Between 1 and 24 hours later, yes.
Yeah, between 1 and 24 hours.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question. Thank you, Jack. There's nothing else. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Okay, with that, we'll go to agenda item 5C, which is the fiscal year 2019-20 first quarter enterprise performance measure update. Andy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the fiscal year 2019-20 first quarter enterprise performance measures update. In the interest of time, I'm going to go through the slides rather quickly. We've kind of dug into these during committee. And John Ward will be assisting me with the financial measures, graciously. So each year as we approach a new fiscal year, we review all of the goal lines, and we make changes as necessary. So I'll be highlighting those throughout the presentation. So the enterprise measures provide a summary of the district's performance in a single graphic report. So we have 12 measures organized by the following categories: efficiency, reliability, service, safety, and financial performance. You can see a roll-up of all these measures, and I will dive into them throughout the presentation. So our first efficiency measure is water operating costs per acre foot delivered. So this goal line has been adjusted per the budget, and then we further average that out by monthly, taking into account historical data to reflect seasonal changes in water usage. So quarter one is trending great. It's just a little bit above the average due to lower than projected water sales and an increased purchased water cost. The next efficiency measure is wastewater treatment operating costs per million gallons treated. The goal has been adjusted per the budget. So quarter one results are favorable. August trended slightly above the goal line due to an increase in payroll processing. A few times a year, three payroll periods hit the books. August is one of those months. The next efficiency measure is recycled water operating costs per acre foot delivered. The goal has been adjusted per the budget as well. Quarter one trended above the average due to an increase in labor and repair costs. The next efficiency measure is self-generated power. This is the percent of EMWD's self-generated power from solar panels, fuel cells, and micro turbines, and this is compared to the total potential production, which is provided to us by our vendors. So the trend is favorable for quarter one. Within this chart, the gray line is the potential production, and the bar chart reflects the actual production for each entity. So now we roll into our reliability metric. This is the customer hours out of service. So we worked with the Director of Water Operations and analyzed the last 24 months of performance, and it was decided to increase the goal from 6 hours to 8 hours. So the trend was slightly above the goal line for the month of September due to a planned outage to replace 4 water valves in the city of Paris on Calico Road.
So just to note there, this includes planned outages as well as emergencies. So, you know, obviously you're going to have, if you took the planned outages out, it wouldn't be, you know, you would just see any emergency outages. But again, we thought it was appropriate to put both in there. But as Andy pointed out, in September we did have a planned outage, but it results inevitably when you have a planned outage in some customers out of service, even though we try to minimize the number of customers.
The next reliability measure is wastewater treatment reliability. This is the uptime of our treatment plants. Across the board, the trend is favorable, very impressive. Our next reliability measure is wastewater spills of collection and treatment systems. There are 2 spills to report within the first quarter. The largest spill occurred in August due to a water line rupturing at the Temecula plant, which released approximately 58,000 gallons. The spill remained on site. Now we roll into our service measures. This is customer satisfaction score of last experience survey, and the surveys include customer call-ins as well as customers who have recently contacted the district regarding a system concern. The new fiscal year goal is to receive a 4 out of 5 on a 1 to 5 questionnaire of all the survey responses. Overall, the quarter one was favorable. July trended slightly below. Now we roll into our safety measures. This is the injury and illness rate. So based on looking at 24 months worth of data, we dropped it down to 3. The score is presented as a 12-month rolling average. So the trend for the past 2 quarters is favorable. Now I will turn it over to John for the financial report.
Thank you, Annie. So we only have 3 slides left on behalf of the balanced scorecard. These are the financial metrics. You've seen this one before. We continue to monitor our general administrative costs as a percent of total operating costs. And that is established by the budget. And our goal is to keep it near 11.6. And you can see that on average we're right there and continue to maintain that trend, that performance. The next financial metric is our net operating margin. This is dollars in minus dollars cost. Andy mentioned the 3 pay periods that hit the books in August, but there was also a number of pumping that occurred in preparation of our solar facilities that had to be graded out. We had to clear some ponds. We had a number of repairs that occurred in August as well. So we had additional expenses, and that dropped that August number down just a bit. But you can see we're trending along that blue goal line very well. Our last financial metric to reflect the balanced scorecard is a new one to the board. Not only do we monitor the relevance of our goals, but we monitor the relevance of the metrics themselves. And in looking at our past performance for the balanced scorecard, we determined and worked with the GM to replace our district investment performance metric, which was our district performance as a relative to the 3-year treasury yield. We replaced that financial metric with this one. This is our ability to plan, design, and construct our capital facilities. So as you know, we have a very robust capital improvement plan. We average over $90 million forecasted per year. We really wanted to reflect our performance related to that target, how well the planning, engineering, construction branch can get a bid out the door, a bid that is responsibly estimated, forecasted ahead of time, and then construct the facilities in the most effective manner. So this metric we feel is going to give plenty of transparency and visibility against that performance. We reset the target every fiscal year, so you can note as we ended June of 2019, we came in about $86 million. That was against a target of $93 million, over 90% performance. We exceeded the target, so we're shown there in green. You can note the first quarter, July, August, September, we're just slightly below that target. Our goal is to implement at least 75% of our forecasted cost. Happy to report that October, November, December have got us up closer to a 99% implementation rate. We just hope that we can sustain that kind of performance. We're going to continue to report on a quarterly basis to this board. I'll click on this graph. We might have some additional details here. Here's a line graph reflecting our budget to actual performance for July, August, September. Again, we want to keep this performance, these lines converging as close as we can. And I can tell you that we track our performance on an individual project basis. So in summary, we have three metrics that are kind of on the watch list: water operating costs, breaker fee, recycled water operating costs, and then this one capital improvement project cost of the budget. Our next quarterly report is scheduled for March 2020, and we'll catch up on second quarter. Are there any questions that I'm able to ask for you today?
John, could you go back to slide 3, please?
Yes.
This was also one in May, June, where we had the pay period phenomena, where, and you'll see in May, we were way below, because we're paid bi-weekly, so it's not, we're not paid twice a month. So when you do monthly tracking, it can really throw you off if you have three pay periods in one month and one in another month. So you have to kind of, that's why we track against the trend line and look at multiple months together because of that bi-weekly pay period.
In these product lines, we see that affect the number dramatically, but we didn't feel it was right to normalize or average out those labor costs. We wanted them to continually track directly with what Charles Turner is presenting to the board and to the public. So that's why we'll see those little flips on that radar from time to time. Any other questions
or comments?
No, I recognize Andy Regalado for collecting and presenting on the
thank you very much. She does a great job at the committee and in front of the board. We thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Okay. With that, we will go to agenda item 6, which is receive and file and accept a motion and a second.
Second.
Then moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously with director record absent. Agenda item 7, which is the calendar review. Nicole?
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. I have two events upcoming for your consideration. The first is the Hemet San Jacinto Action Group Luncheon with Riverside County Supervisor Jeff Stone as the featured speaker.
Jeff Hewitt.
Jeff Hewitt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff Hewitt. Sorry about that. Friday, February 21st, that event will occur at noon at Saboba.
Director Sullivan. I'm going to go.
Thank you, Director Collin. And the Aqua Spring Conference registration is now open. The Spring Conference will be held in Monterey, May 5th through the 8th. And the preliminary agenda is attached to your packet as the last page for those who are interested in attending. Thank you, Director Sullivan. Moving to page 2, we have the board members' calendar for the next 2 weeks. Director Polly will be attending the CalDESAL annual conference in Santa Barbara, February 6th and February 7th. On Friday, February 7th, the UCR Southern California Affordability Symposium will be held at 9 a.m. at UCR's Alumni Center. Director Sullivan is scheduled to attend.
Yes.
On Friday as well, the Moreno Valley Chamber of Commerce will be holding its awards and installation event. Director Slauson is scheduled to attend. It's a district-sponsored event. Saturday, February 5th, Director Sullivan will join the tour for the Cal Poly Pomona faculty and staff. That event begins at 9 a.m. here at the district. On Tuesday, February 11th, the Special Board Executive Committee meeting will be held at 3 p.m. for Directors Slauson and Sullivan. followed by the Board Administrative Committee meeting at 4 p.m. for Directors Polly and Sullivan. And on the evening of February 11th, the Quail Valley Community Group will meet at 7 p.m. Director Sullivan is scheduled to attend. Wednesday, February 12th, Director Corona has an update meeting with the General Manager in Temecula at 7:30 a.m. On February 12th at 5:30 p.m., the MoDoc Water Policy Forum will be held in Costa Mesa. It's a district-sponsored event, and Director Sullivan is scheduled to attend. That event begins at 5:30. On Thursday, February 13th, Director Slauson has an update with the General Manager at 7:30 a.m. in Moreno Valley. Director Corona will attend the Rancho California Water District Board meeting in Temecula at 8:30 a.m. The Board Planning Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m. on the 13th as well. That's for Director Corona and Director Record. And the Winchester Municipal Advisory Council will meet at 6:30 p.m. on February 13th, Director Polly. The CalDESAL Executive Committee Standing Conference Call is scheduled for February 17th, 11 a.m. for Director Polly. And the SAPA Commission will meet at 9:30 a.m. on February 18th, Director Slauson. Moving to page 3, we have key events and conferences the Board will be attending for the next several months. Please let me know if you would like to attend or need any additional information on any of these events. Looking at the upcoming board meetings, we'd like to note for February 19th that President Sullivan and General Manager Jones have been invited to a meeting with Congressman Ken Calvert, and it is at the same time as our board meeting, and so we'd like to request the board consider moving the February 19th meeting to the afternoon about 3 p.m. if that works.
I'm good with that.
Works for us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And we'll circle with Director Record as well to confirm that that works.
So
thank
you. Checked his Met calendar. He looks clear, too. Okay.
Thank you. And moving to page 4, we have the upcoming board meetings, board committee meetings, and with the reschedules noted by an asterisk. The joint interagency meetings are also listed. Just to note that the February joint meeting with Elsinore has been moved to March 3rd. And Director Polly will be in D.C. For that meeting.
Correct.
Thank you. The out-of-office and district holiday schedule is listed on page 5. Are there any additions or questions on the calendar? That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay, with that, we'll go to the director's meetings attended. Director Polly.
Yes, I attended the quarterly deferred compensation admin oversight committee meeting. We actually had some of our people that watch our funds for us in attendance, and we had a couple of discussions about one particular fund that we probably will move out of our program due to performance issues. I did attend the Southern California Water Coalition lunch with our general manager. They had a really good panel. One of the panelists was Adam Pavolsky, who's a pollster, and they're talking about messaging on several items. I thought it was really, really helpful, really good, and it just reinforced to me that, April, the messaging we use here to talk to our customers is really what they recommend and how we think. So, good job on that. CalDESAL Executive Committee teleconference was a lot of planning. The conference I'm leaving for after this meeting up in Santa Barbara, our annual CalDESAL conference, which I think Mr. Wall is also attending, if I'm correct. Building Industry Association Economic Forecast, I attended that. It's a yearly event with Dr. Doty from Chapman University, who still is bullish on our service area and the Inland Empire as far as the economy holding through the next 12 months without any major changes, so it was pretty good news. Had the opportunity to meet with the general manager in April on some potential changes that the Audubon Society has approached us to do out at our wildlife tours, and probably more to come on that, but I thought that was very productive. And then I had a really good meeting yesterday with Laura and talked about some of our billing things and being up to speed on the presentation that we just saw. So it's been a busy couple weeks.
Okay. We'll skip down to Director Slauson.
Sure. I attended the quarterly deferred compensation with administrative oversight committee meeting on the 23rd, and most of the portfolio is doing well. But they did eliminate one mid-cap book from the portfolio. Attended SAPA yesterday, and we received a report on assessing homelessness impact on water quality, occurring in aquatic habitat in the upper Sandstone River watershed. I'm not sure if they'll go further in terms of actually trying to quantify or do additional studies. Most agencies would look into this and not taken that additional step because of its the mobility of the homeless and a number of other issues. It was hard to quantify what impact they're having. We authorized the purchase of an emergency generator, and that's going to be secured in the secure facility. And authorized the general manager to execute a partnership agreement between SAPA and the City of Riverside in support of the application for a transformative climate communities grant.
Okay, thank you. All right. I have the update with the general manager on the 29th, which is always very informative. And on Monday, I attended my first meeting with the Riverside Council of Governments Executive Committee, which I thought was interesting and gave us an opportunity to introduce Western to make a presentation, which I thought was good. So I look forward to the next one. Okay, we have any director's comments for future agenda items? If not, counsel, we have need for a closed session today.
We do, Mr. Chair, as described in item 9, a performance evaluation for the general manager for government code section 54957.